And we've covered the area of all things the last couple of weeks. And all things that we kind of focused on was one thing that we all deal with on a daily basis. We talked about finances. We talked about your checkbook. We talked about how to increase what it is that God has promised us. But now we're moving on to another section. We're going to talk about prosper in health just as your soul prospers. Now, I was reading this last week, and I came across this testimony, and there was this little girl. Now, in the Bible, it'll say there was a certain man. So when it says when there is a certain man, no, there really was a certain man. It was a certain guy. There was a guy in their community. Now, in this here, what I'm going to tell you about, there was a certain girl. There was a young girl, and she asked her mom if she could ride her bicycle down to the local high school so that she could watch all of the, it was prom, and so she wanted to watch all the girls getting out of their cars and in their pretty prom dresses and all this type of thing. Wow, okay, that'd be something, oh, a girl, anyway. But she wanted to watch them get out of their cars, pretty prom dresses. So they're coming in, the cars are pulling up, the girls are getting out, and I'm sure the little girl's sitting there, ooh, ah, oh, that's so nice, sparkly, all this type of stuff. But then there was one car that pulled up, and the car didn't stop. Now, her mother told her, you can ride your bike there, but stay on the sidewalk. Don't go out in the street. So the little girl obeyed, and she was on the sidewalk. So this one car comes up there, young guy and a young girl in it, and they didn't stop. They kept going, and they ran over the little girl. And not only did they run over her, they stopped at that point and backed up and ran over her again. True story. Some of the people that knew the little girl knew that she lived just down the street. They went and scooped her up, and they ran her down to her mom and dad's house. Now, it just so happened that the little girl's doctor lived across the street. And so they got the doctor, and he came over there, and he is examining the little girl, and he sees that she's bad. I mean, she's slipping into a coma. Matter of fact, she did slip into a coma. And he told the parents that it wouldn't do any good to rush her to the hospital because he's not sure she would even make it. And then the mother said, we'll see. So the mother, she sat by the little girl's bed. They said, got her to the hospital, made it to the hospital, sat by the little girl's bed for 3 days. She had the Word of God on the inside of her. She had fed on the Word of God for a long time. And so for 3 days, she's sitting by her daughter's bedside just going over those healing scriptures and those health scriptures that were embedded on the inside of her, speaking them over her daughter, believing them over her daughter. And in 3 days, the little girl comes out of the coma. And what was the first thing she asked the little girl? What was the first thing the little girl asked? She goes, did anything happen to my bicycle? Okay. But you know what? After these 3 days, she woke up, wanted to know about her bicycle. The mother believed that healing was the inheritance of God's children. It's our inheritance. She believed, I don't know if I gave these verses here, but she believed in Luke 4:40. It says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many crying out saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. She believed that that was her inheritance. That as the word of God was spoken over her little girl, I'm sure she laid her hands on her little girl. She believed that her inheritance was to come out of this coma, to receive divine health, to receive healing in her body. She also believed in Matthew 12, verse 15. And it says, talking about Jesus, and great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all. We know that it is God's desire to heal. We know that it is God's desire that we walk in divine health. Now, just because someone says they're believing for something, healing, just because they're making a good confession, and we should believe and we should confess the right things, but this is no sign that they're going to receive their healing. In our Christian world, sometimes people think that this is what we're supposed to do. We've seen it happen. Oh, we're making a good confession. I'm believing God for. I'm not believing God for anything. Whoo, what did you, that just came to me. That was the Holy Spirit just said that, told me to say that. I'm not believing God for anything. I'm receiving what He already says is available to me. It's mine already. Well, I'm believing God that He'll deliver me from this cold. No, He said by the stripes of Jesus, you were already done. You are healed in the name of Jesus. The stripes that Jesus took on that on His back when they hung Him on the cross, that blood that was spilled, it was spilled for our healing. So I'm not believing Him for my healing. I'm receiving my healing. I understand when people say, I'm believing God for this. I know what they're saying. But sometimes our confessions are wrong. Sometimes the things we say are wrong. I had one gentleman back here in the back. I may tell it's wrong, but I'm not going to tell the whole story. He wanted somebody to agree with him on something. And then they asked him, well, how are you feeling? And he said, it doesn't matter how I'm feeling. We come into agreement, didn't we? I'm believing that I've already received it. That's how we need to look at healing. And if we look at, well, we'll read 3 John here in a minute. Matter of fact, I'm going to read it now. And it says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So he desires that we prosper in all things. What's all things? All things, everything. And then he talks about us prospering in our health. But there's a qualification to both of those. Just as your soul prospers, just as your spirit is being renewed. If you're not, if you're only reading your Bible once or twice a week, if you're only talking to God once or twice a week, just as your soul is prospering, will you walk in divine health and will you walk in prosperity in all things? If you're not spending time with Him, if you don't know what the Word of God says with regards to your health and your healing, then you won't walk in health and healing on a regular basis. Oh man, he's getting harsh here this morning. All diseases are curable, but not all people will receive their healing. They desire to be healed, but they aren't healed. Why? 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Whoo! I know who my God is. I know He knows me. I know that this is the confidence I have in Him. That if I ask anything according to His will, I know that He hears me. And if I know that He hears me, I know that I have everything that I ask. Oh, man. What's His will? His word. If I ask anything in line with His word. Now, how did I know that? That was a Bible verse, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. How did I know that? Because I've been mulling over that for the past 2 years. Those two scriptures. So that I know that if I ask for anything with regards to my health, I know that I have it. I've shared the story many times. There's a few people in here that don't know my story, and some of you will start to tell my story for me as I'm standing up here. You'll say, can you pause so I can come up and finish the story for you? I used to do that to our former pastor. I would finish the stories he told them so many times. But you know what? It's still the truth of God. I'm standing out here on the disc golf course. Anybody else in here like to play disc golf? Come on, somebody, there has to be one person that likes. Okay, I'm on my own. All right. Standing on the disc golf course. I had been diagnosed with high blood pressure before I came back to Illinois. I went into the doctor one time. My blood pressure was like 197 over 100 and something. I can't remember exactly the bottom number. So he put me on these blood pressure medications. And so I'm taking them. But I'm saying, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I'm healed. It's already done. I took the blood pressure medication. Don't quit taking your medication if you're taking medication. Unless the Holy Spirit tells you. You'll know the difference. So I'm out on disc golf course. I'm playing. I'm having fun. Carrie's with me. We got our dog with us. Our dog loves to run out there and chase the squirrels. She hates squirrels. But anyway, all of a sudden I started getting dizzy. And so I grabbed a hold of the basket, and I'm holding onto the basket because I knew if I didn't, I was going to fall on the ground. So I'm holding on to the basket. I went home. I self-diagnosed, just so you know. I quit taking my blood pressure medication. Called the doctor. He said, yeah, quit taking your blood pressure medication. And so since then, and when I got home that day, my blood pressure was 101 over 40 or 50 or something like that. I don't remember. But ever since then, my blood pressure has been 126 over 72, 74. Perfect blood pressure. Well, how did I get to that point? I immersed myself in the Word. I prospered my spirit. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My faith was built because of the Word of God that was on the inside of me, so that when I dealt with a medical situation, I could say, the Word of God says over here. The Word of God says over here. Jesus did this for that person. He's no respecter of persons. He'll do the same thing for me. I mulled over that stuff there. I kept mulling over that in my own life. And you know what? And when the time came, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I don't take blood pressure medication anymore. I'm done with it. My blood pressure has been perfect ever since. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, it says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because, here's the qualification, because we keep His commandments. What's His commandments? Right there. We keep His word. How do we keep His word? How do we know His word? We get in there, we find out what His word says, and we walk it out. If you're believing for healing in your body, what does the word say about healing in your body? Find those scriptures. Put those scriptures in front of your eyes. Do not let them depart. Meditate on them day and night. Let them become a part of who you are. And your healing will manifest. It has to. Otherwise, God is a liar. I'm not going to call God a liar. Let every man, let God be true, let every man be a liar. Because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. We keep His commandments and we're a doer of His word. The Bible talks about don't just be a hearer of the word only. Deceiving yourself. Just because you hear it and you've got it here, that doesn't mean that it's going to manifest. You got to do what it says. A lot of messages on healing from pastors and evangelists and traveling preachers. They try to show the spectacular, to inspire your healing. Inspiration doesn't bring about healing. The spectacular, I mean, some people will get down there, oh, and I've seen this, and I believe that the person was led by the Holy Spirit. Put your feet out, one leg shorter than the other. They got back problems. I watched, the preacher didn't pull on their legs or anything, but I physically stood there and watched one leg grow out even with the other. Why did he do it that way? Because the Holy Spirit told him to do it that way. I believe that. And that would be something considered, somebody might say, that's spectacular, that's wow, you know. But that's not what's going to get you healed. It's knowing what the Word says about your health, about your healing, and doing, acting upon what it says. Inspirational speeches won't get it done. The hype won't get it done. Somebody coming out here and they're sweating and they're spitting and they're back and forth across the stage. Like, don't sit in the front row because, and I've done it before, don't sit in front of me because I spit when I preach here. But them walking back and forth and sweating and spitting that all that hype and trying to build you up, charge you up, that won't get it done. It's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit speaking to you. So inspiration, it won't get you healed. Knowing the Word, believing the Word, and acting on the Word is what will get it done. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 4. Before this is over, we might go another week, maybe even two more weeks. But before this is done, we're going to get everybody into a qualification mindset. We just read it right there in 3 John. You can ask whatever and receive from Him because we keep His commandments. We don't follow some preacher. We don't follow some evangelist. Anybody got a favorite preacher or evangelist? I do. I don't follow them because I'll question what they say. I've been in my home church before, and the preacher will preach something, and I'll question him as about something he said. And there's some things I don't agree with Brother Hagin. Anybody knows Brother Hagin? Oh, modern day father of faith. He would tell you, question what I say. Okay, moving on. Proverbs chapter 4, starting with verse 20. We're talking about health. We're talking about healing. We're talking about just as your soul prospers. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. What's that sound like? Man, you're in the Word. You're studying the Word. If you want to see things happen in your life, you got to know what the Word of God says about it. And he's saying here, pay attention to it. Incline your ear to his sayings. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Man, it's saying this needs to consume you. The Word of God needs to consume you. You've got pro athletes where if they're, I've said it before, I know a professional baseball player. Played for 12 years. Played for the Houston Astros. Played for Tampa Bay Rays. Was a third base coach for the Red Sox. A coach for Houston also. Baseball consumed him. What he was. He woke up thinking baseball. He went to bed thinking baseball. He watched videos of baseball. It was baseball was traveling teams as he's growing up. Baseball is who he was. That's what this is saying the Word of God needs to be to us. It needs to be who we. It needs to consume us. We need to say, I can't go a day without putting my face in the Word of God. Give attention to it. Incline your ear. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. These words, for they are life to those who find them. And what's the next thing? And health to all their flesh. So how do we receive, how do we walk in divine health? How do we receive healing? It's through the Word. If you don't know the Word, you're trusting somebody else. I won't go that direction yet. But once again, 3 John says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came to testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth. Well, what's the truth? The truth is the Word. So as you're walking in the truth, it says here, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testify to the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth, that my children are walking in the Word. And when we do, we prosper. As a believer, we have to believe that. Believers believe. As a believer, you have to believe that the Word of God is the truth and the only truth. So help you, God. About how you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Set you free from what? From anything that you're struggling with. The Word will set you free. The level at which your spirit is prospering determines everything else in your life. If you're not spending time with God, if you're not spending time in the Word, then you're not prospering the way that you should prosper. But if you are, I don't like to lay on the negative, but if you are spending time in the Word, if you are spending time with God, you will prosper in every area of your life. Today we're talking about health and we're talking about healing. You will prosper. In Hosea chapter 4, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't know the Word and what it says with regards to health and healing, you're going to walk around sick and dying sooner than you should. And we don't have to. Because if it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, we can also say, my people will thrive because they know the truth. And they can walk in divine health, and they can walk in divine healing. when it talks about destroyed, I was kind of looking that up a little bit, and it says destroyed. Die or live in substandard health. We don't have to die, and we don't have to live in substandard health. I should have died probably 5 times already. Carrie tells me that I need to slow down, and it's like, no. I still want to go bungee jumping. They had a bungee jump where you could jump off the Royal Gorge out in Colorado. I don't know if they still have it there or not, but I'd like to jump off the Royal Gorge Bridge. Anyway, some people are still going skydiving at 63 years old. I might have to try that sometime. My wife used to tell me, said, no, you have 2 kids. I was going to go bungee jumping with my son-in-law, which wasn't my son-in-law at the time. And my wife said, no, you have a family, and he's not your son. So you guys aren't jumping off that bridge. Anyway. But it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But someone might say, well, I know what the word says. Do you know what the word says, or have you heard somebody say what the word says? Can you give me, you don't have to repeat it back to me, but we need to ask ourselves, ask myself, can I quote 5 Bible verses on healing and health? Can I give 5 examples in the Bible where God healed somebody and he's no respecter of person? Got to ask myself that. When some people, I talk about, if somebody doesn't know who Brother Hagin is, he started Rhema, well, he didn't start Rhema. Back in the 1950s, he had this message of faith that God told him to go share faith with the people. He says, how am I going to do it? I'm just one man. Back in the 50s. Well, since then, his son came along, and they've started Rhema Bible College. They started Rhema Bible Church. They have 312 campuses around the world on 56 or 59 different continents or 59 different nations. And so from that one man in the 1950s, over 120 or 30,000 people have gone through Bible college at Rhema. But he would have people come up in a line, and he would ask them, he would say, they're coming up for healing or whatever it may be. We're talking about healing and health today. He would ask you, well, what scriptures are you standing on with regards to your healing and your health? And they would say, well, none in particular. And he would tell them, well, then you're going to receive nothing in particular. We got to have the Word of God. And when we have the Word of God, we will prosper in all things, and we will prosper in our health and our healing. You know, the person, let's turn to, no, we'll hold off on that. When we study the Word and know what it says and really believe it's real, and it's real for us, that's when we start seeing things happening. I mean, we can read the Bible, but if we don't read it with expectation, if I'm dealing with some sort of physical issue that's going on in my body right now, if I don't read the Word of God when it comes to healing with some sort of expectation that God's going to do what he said he's going to do, then I'm just getting a little bit of head knowledge. I'm getting some information. And that's kind of like taking a test. You cram for the test, and when the test is over, hey, who is the first president of the United States? Was that Thomas Jefferson? I'm kidding. We know that was Abraham Lincoln. Oops. But if we immerse ourselves in the Word of God regularly, we will have health and we will have healing regularly in our lives. It's just the way it is. Well, I read the Bible. But when you're going through it, I was talking about going through it, going through stuff, is the Word staying before your eyes? Sometimes when we're going through stuff, sometimes when we're going through it, that sometimes seems more real because it's tangible. We can see it. We can feel it. We can hear it. We can smell it. We can whatever it is with our 5 senses. It's always there. It's always in our face. Sometimes that can seem more real than what the Word of God has to say. But you know what? The Word of God is more real than anything that you're experiencing. And when we can get to that point where we say, I don't care what I'm feeling, I may be experiencing a symptom, but the Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. The Bible says that he's no respecter of persons. So when he raised that man up from the dead, when he spit on his finger and wiped it on that guy's tongue, when he spit in some clay and wiped it over some guy's eye over here, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he's no respecter of persons. So what he did then, he's still doing it now. It says he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I can walk in divine health and I can walk in healing today, right now. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Whew. Come on, we got to get to that point. If we want to live that way, we got to. Well, I'm shy. I was shy, really shy. Hide under the kitchen table, shy, until company left. Let my wife do all the talking until I was almost 35 years old, shy. Not now. Now everything's a competition. Anyway. But we can't be shy when it comes to these things. If you're struggling with something, forget being shy. Jesus, you said, devil, get out of here. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I release the healing power of God into my life because he said it's mine. I told somebody one time when they were telling me, now don't get offended if you fall into this category. This is my life. It's my experience. That's why I'm telling it. If you want to give me your experiences, I'll share your life with everybody. Somebody was telling me that, tell me something similar this one time, and I said, really? Get over yourself. Shyness, I'm going to say this one thing. We're not talking about shyness this morning. I was extremely shy. I'm telling you, that was me. Shyness is a form of pride because you're afraid of what people might think of you. You might say something wrong. Don't get offended. Everybody still loves me, right? I think I only got one amen. Moving on. But even when we're when we're not going through it, when we're not going through stuff, is the word still in front of our eyes? Is it still in the midst of our heart? Are we still inclining our ears? Do we still believe it in our heart? Is it coming out of our mouth? Are we acting upon it? Talking about health today. Are we acting upon the word of God that's on the inside of us with regards to our health? Is it bringing us to a point of a prosperous body? Physically. One of the most common reasons people don't receive their healing is that they haven't prepared themselves to receive their healing. They don't take the time with God's word to see what it says about healing. I'm not saying this is everybody, but this is a common reason people don't receive their healing. They don't take time to see what it says about their health or their healing. They may have heard it taught by somebody. That's not the same thing as meditating on the word yourself, finding out what the word of God has to say about your health, yourself. They may have when trouble comes, people may run to the first healing line they can find. There's nothing wrong with healing lines. I believe in healing lines. I believe in praying for the sick. The Bible talks about you will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So if somebody's going through something physical and I ask them to come forward here, I believe that I'm following what the Word of God says, that when I lay my hands on them, it's not me, it's not my power, it's the power of God coming down from heaven, flowing through me into them. So that when I lay my hands on them and I pray for them, as a matter of fact, I only have to pray. It says, lay your hands on the sick and they'll recover. If they're coming up for healing, you lay your hands on them, you say, be healed in Jesus' name. And if they've prepared themselves, they'll be healed in Jesus' name. But they run to healing lines. And a lot of times nothing happens. Because they haven't prepared themselves. They haven't spent time with God. They haven't spent time in the Word. They don't know what the Word says. They don't know that when I come up to this healing line, the Bible says that when they lay hands on me, I'll recover. I've got that on inside me. So when he lays hands on me, I believe I'll recover. There's another passage, we'll talk about it later in James, where it talks about calling the elders of the church, come forward, have them anoint you with oil, pray, you know, all this stuff. There's nothing magical in the oils, just so you know. I could use 10W-40, I could use Crisco, I could use olive oil, I could use whatever, what's your favorite oil? I could use that, and there's nothing magical in the oil, but it's what it represents. The anointing coming and flowing. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. They haven't spent time in the Word. They haven't prepared themselves. They might come to a Sunday morning service. And if it's convenient, they might even come to a midweek service. But that's not going to get it done. Just because you show up to church doesn't mean that you're going to receive whatever it is that you're looking for. He talks about back here, we just read it here in just this verse here. It says, and whatever you ask, you receive from him because you keep his commandments, because you've spent time in his word, because you're doing what he's called, told you to do, because you've spent time with him. In James chapter 5, we'll look at this real quick here. The Bible talks about, we read earlier, these words, they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. If you're going through something, your spirit needs to prosper. And your health will prosper equal to the way your spirit is prospering. In James chapter 5, verse 14, it says, is anyone among you sick? Anybody ever been sick? I'm the only one. Okay. All right. Let him call for the elders of the church. Oh, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to bother them. Well, it says, if any among you are sick, let him call on the elders of the church. Well, how would you know to call on the elders of the church if you're sick? Because you've been in the Bible. You've been studying the Word. And this is one of the ways that God works. But if you haven't been spending time in the Bible, you're sitting at home. I'm sick. Now, they say that guys are a little bit more sensitive when they're sick. That they're a little bit more needy when they're sick. No, we're not, guys. Anyway. Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Like I said, there's nothing magical in the oil. Just like we had a baptism here just... Well, we had two weeks ago, and then last week we had a baptism. And like I said, there's nothing magical in the water. It's what it represents. Just like anointing with oil. We anoint with oil. We got oil back there. I've anointed with oil. But there's nothing magical in the oil. It's all about the anointing and the power. But it says here, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, one in right standing, avails much. Now we're going to look at Acts chapter 10, starting with verse 36. We're going to look at a great example, Jesus, and how he dealt with healing and health. We just read here about anointing with oil. It says here in Acts 10:36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Okay, we got preaching, we got the word, and we got preached again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, it doesn't mean that you're demon-possessed or anything like that. Sickness is an oppression of the devil. Sickness comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God. God does not make anyone sick to teach them a lesson. If you broke your arm and you believe that God did that to teach you a lesson, don't go to the hospital and get it put in a cast. Just suffer with it, if that's what you believe. God does not put healing, sickness, pain, suffering on anybody. It says, doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Is God with us? Amen. Does he ever leave us? Does he ever forsake us? No. But anointed is filled with the fullness of God and divine empowerment. When we talk about this, rather than chasing after some new anointing, believers should remember that they already have the gift of the Holy Spirit. They've already been, they're a child of God. That anointing that they're talking about here, that power that they're talking about here, resides in each and every one of us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, lives in us as well. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, it says, we have the promise that his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. It's the anointing and power of God that breaks the yoke of sickness and disease and all the oppression of the devil. And that same anointing and that same power resides in each and every one of us. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to die sick. Now, unless Jesus comes back tomorrow, we're all going to die at some point. But we don't have to die sick. We can die proclaiming the goodness of God from our deathbed to our last. My dad, when he passed away back in 2015, he was still witnessing to the nurses in the hospital before he passed away. Witnessing and sharing the love of Jesus to his dying breath. We don't have to die sick. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. We have a guide. We have a Holy Spirit. We as believers have been anointed with the Holy Spirit, this guide, this power, when we were born again. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. We just need to know how to appropriate it. Many times, you know, we talk about the ministry of Jesus, his ministry of healing. And people say, well, that was Jesus. We're still talking about prospering in health. But people will say, well, that was Jesus. And you know, this is half truth. It's true, it was Jesus. But half truths sometimes can do more harm than flat out lies. We don't operate in half truths. We're going to look at John chapter 14 here in just a second. By some people sharing this half-truth, well, that was just Jesus, then that leaves people with the idea that power was only available to Jesus and no one else. Now, Jesus was in a league of his own. I'm not Jesus, and neither are you. He was in a league all of his own. But when it comes to ministry, he's not in a league all his own. Well, that statement probably just caused a few of you to start thinking about walking out of here. Maybe it didn't. But if we look at what the Bible says, we're going to find out that we're in the same ministry category as Jesus. John chapter 14, starting with verse 11. It says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, any believers in the room? Amen. Anybody who believes in Jesus? Amen. He who believes in me, the works or the ministry, the works of ministry, those are interchangeable, the works or the ministry that I do, he will do also. Oh, so we're in the same ministry class as Jesus. So, if he's placing his hands on sick people, and I walk up to you, and because we'll look at the story here, account here in just a few minutes about the man who's let down through the roof. They tore off the roof of the house. They let this guy down through. Jesus said, when he saw that he had the faith to be made well. When we see that people, when they come up in the ministry line here, see that they have the faith to be made well. I know that the works that Jesus did, he laid hands on people. I can lay hands on people and I can see them recover. Amen. we operate in the same ministry that Jesus operated in when it comes to these types of things. Well, that was just Jesus. Yeah, it was Jesus. But here it is, Jesus himself saying, most assuredly, no, really, I really mean this. Listen to me, because this is what I really mean. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works or the ministry that I will do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now, some people say, what's the greater works? We're not going to spend any kind of time on that this morning. But when Jesus was here, do you realize nobody was added to the church daily when Jesus was here? Do you realize that there was no church when Jesus was here? He hadn't died and gone to heaven yet. Nobody was born again while Jesus was on the earth. He hadn't died yet and risen. But once he did, we get into Acts chapter 2. It talks about people being born again. It talks about people being baptized. It talks about people being added to the church daily. Why? Because they received the teaching. They received the preaching of the word. Now, we're still talking about prospering in health. We're not going to get all the way through this. I'm not going to get to my boom, my inspiration. No, we don't work with inspiration. Point. But in verse 16 here in John chapter 14, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans or helpless. I will come to you. We have a helper to help us prosper in ministry, to help us prosper in all things, to help us to prosper in our health. And when we crack open this book and we start reading the things with regards to health, that Holy Spirit is speaking to us. He's revealing the truths of the word to us. So that when we read something, if we're dealing with a health issue, when we read something with regards to our health, the Holy Spirit saying, here, let me explain that to you. Let me help you get a better understanding of that. Let me help you to where it gets down on the inside of you. Let me help you to where it becomes who you are. Let me help you to where it gets to the point where it just eats you up. You can't get enough of that. You're going through it. You're going through a health situation. Here's what it says. Man, here's what it says about you. Here's what it says about your situation. Study this. Keep it in front of your eyes. Man, you'll walk in divine health. And when we do, when we read it, we believe it, and we receive it, and we walk it out, we can't help but walk in divine health. We can't help but walk in healing. We're going to look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38 again. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. It's his desire that we walk in health. But the reason that we don't walk in health is because we haven't prepared ourselves to receive the healing that we need. Because we haven't spent time with God. But if we spend time with God, if we spend time in the Word, if we spend time knowing who we are in him, if we spend time knowing that it's his desire to heal us and for us to walk in divine health, we spend time, we get that on the inside of us, we meditate on that, we get it in front of our eyes, it's in our heart, it becomes a part of who we are, then we walk that out in our lives. In Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 35, it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Now, here's how we get to the point where we can walk in divine health. Teaching in their synagogues, so the people were receiving teaching. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness. That was the ministry of Jesus. Teaching, preaching, healing. If you want to say there's a formula for walking divine health, get your face in the Word. That was kind of harsh. Get my face in the Word. Spend time there. Listen to preaching. And when I have, just like the ministry of Jesus, teaching, preaching, healing. If you're going through something and you, it's physical, what does the Word say about it? Meditate on what the Word says about it, and you'll walk in divine health. So if this is how Jesus did it, this is how we ought to do it. Teaching was the number one work of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus, which is the ministry we have. Preaching was the number two work of Jesus, and healing was the number three work of Jesus. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it says, Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form from like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it talks about how Jesus was led into the wilderness, and every time the devil came at Jesus, Jesus always replied, It is written. It is written. We need to be able to say, with regards to anything that we're going through, illness we're going through, it is written. It is written. And when you go, when that's on the inside of us, especially, man, when you can call that up at any given moment, you know it's on the inside of you. 1 John 5, 14 and 15, it's on the inside of me. John 3, 16, I mean, I could name a bunch of verses. They're on the inside of me. You can't shake me from these things. And so when I'm going through something, I can turn to these things. And then when we get down to what was the first work of ministry Jesus did after being baptized? Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says, Then Jesus returned in power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. In order to prosper in your health, you have to know what Jesus says about it. His word. And in order to have that faith stirred on the inside of you, Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to stir that on the inside. You got to have it on the inside of you. Now, can you stumble sometimes into some sort of healing? I've heard of it. But if you want to know that you're going to be healed, know what the word says about it. Spend time with Jesus. Walk out what he says to do. Believe that you have already received, and you will have. One last verse. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Sickness is an oppression. And he said, I've been sent to set you free from that oppression. He's still in the business today of setting us free from oppression, from sickness, from disease. We got to know what he says about it. The number one way to receive your healing is to know what the Word of God says about whatever it is you're going through. Believe that it's for you. Receive it into your lives and walk it out. And you will receive it. We're going to get into next week. We're going to get into a little bit more the actual healing part for your body this next week. But I just wanted to lay a foundation here today that in order to prosper in your health, you have to be prospering spiritually. You have to have the word in front of your face. It has to be in your heart. You have to incline your ear to it. It has to eat you up. It has to be a part of who you are. When they say your name, they should say, yeah, that's a Bible guy. That's a Bible girl. Woman. All the girls are in their classrooms. It has to be a part of who you are. It has to be who you are if you want to receive that in your life. We're going to receive communion here in just a few minutes. Jesus came to this earth. He lived amongst us. He showed us the way to the Father. He healed all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. He showed us how we're to live our lives even today. and what's available to us even today, what is our inheritance today, because God sent his son. Now, we practice open communion here. If you profess to be a believer, you're welcome to partake of communion with us. Jesus' body was broken for us. His blood was spilled for us so that we can have a place with him in eternity, so that we can have healed and whole bodies physically. We can have healed and whole lives just in general here on this earth. So many people get caught up at they remain at the foot of the cross. They're always knelt at the foot of the cross. The cross is important. Jesus died for us on that cross. But guess what? Jesus ain't on the cross no more. I know that was bad English for some, but Jesus ain't on the cross no more. He's risen. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he says that we sit with him. We're the body. We are his body. So if we are his body, we're sitting at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. And he's saying, all things are under his feet. Well, if all things are under his feet and we're part of his body sitting alongside of him at the right hand of God, then all things are under our feet. That means sickness and disease are under our feet. That means poverty is under our feet. That means any oppression of the devil is under our feet. Anything that has a name is subject to the name of Jesus. So if it's subject to the name of Jesus, then it's subject when we speak the name of Jesus. All because he died on that cross. But I'm not stuck at the cross. I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for the shed blood. I'm thankful for the broken body. But man, I am excited because he's the King of Kings. He's the King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. Some people use that term. Oh, he's the King of Kings. That referring to Jesus twice as a king. No, he says we're kings and queens here on this earth. He's the King of a King. He's the King. So I'm going to ask the ushers to go ahead and come forward and prepare to pass out the elements. And as they do, just take a minute. Examine what's going on in your life. See where you're at with regards to the things of God. Man, if there's something that right now that you've done that you feel like you've really messed up, man, there's no way back. There's always a way back. Tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ask forgiveness, and he'll forgive you completely. You may have messed up this week. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands if you've messed up this week or not, but you may have. He says he'll forgive you. How do we get to this point? Because of that shed blood and that broken body. I'm thankful for it. But man, I'm really thankful because he's a loving God and he forgives me when I mess up. I'm thankful because of his shed blood, I'm healed and I'm whole. I walk in divine health. Brother Hagin used to say he's never had a headache. He's had many opportunities to have a headache, but he's never had a headache. When it would come on, he'd speak the name of Jesus. That's what this blood represents. Healing for our bodies. Salvation for our souls. So as we peel back this plastic and take this wafer out of here, it does represent the broken body of Jesus. Man, he paid a price that nobody else was willing to pay for us. We're going to take it here in just a second. And when we take it, I want us to snap it in half, representing the broken body of Jesus. Man, when we do take it, this wafer, and we do drink this juice, let's not focus just on the cross. was focused on a reigning king. And we walk in victory with him. So, Father, we just thank you for your sending your son to die on our behalf. But, Father, we're even more grateful that he's not in the tomb anymore. He's not buried under a rock. He said that he was going to rise in 3 days, and he rose in 3 days. Death could not hold him down. We're so thankful that he is sitting at the right hand, making intercession for us. So thankful that he's preparing a place for us. So as we take this wafer, take it with great thankfulness and great gratitude for what he's done. Let's break it. Let's eat together. And Father, this juice that represents the shed blood of Jesus, we thank you that by this shed blood, we have remission of sin. We have healing for our bodies. This shed blood purchased it all. Walk in victory. We don't have to ever walk in defeat. We thank you for this blood. In Jesus' name, let's drink it.